don't panic, right? Well, maybe you should. I don't know. But in this book, Paul exhorts and charges Timothy to fulfill what God has called him to do. Tonight, we as a church recognize what God has called Brother Ted Alexander to do. We, through a church decision and laying on of hands, have given the authority passed from Christ to his churches to do the work of God. The call of God is upon the life of Brother Ted Alexander. We thank the Lord for that. But I just want to give an encouragement today that many people treat the call of God like a telephone call. They think they can decide whether to answer it or not. But the call of God is not a matter of whether you want to answer it or not. It's a matter of obedience. And once you see that, look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 1. Says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by what? The commandment of God. Understand this, that the calling of God... Now, I understand you have a free choice whether to answer or not, but to know and to feel that God has called you to do a work and to not surrender to that is disobedience and sin. Amen. It's a command of God. It says, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Go down to verse number 18 in chapter number 1. Says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander. I didn't pick that text because of that, because that's bad, all right? But whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. I want to look at this book as much as we can tonight to understand something of Paul's charge to Timothy. You see there in verse number 18, this charge I commit to thee, son Timothy. And I want to look at this tonight and just kind of skim through these verses. We obviously aren't going to spend much time on all these verses, but look at them with me real quick, because this book is Paul's charge to Timothy. I want you to see in verses 1 through 11 of chapter number 1, a great responsibility. A great responsibility. In verse number 3 and 4, you see there's a responsibility, and I'm preaching this to Brother Alexander tonight, but I'm preaching this to me tonight. I'm preaching this to Kizzaddo Baptist Temple tonight. That we have a great responsibility, number one, to be doctrinally pure. It says there in verse number 3, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. We have a responsibility, Brother Alexander, as he goes forth to Florida. We have a responsibility here at this church to do our best to live a doctrinally pure life. To make sure we don't entertain false doctrine and false teaching. To Brother Alexander, and praise the Lord for his knowledge of the Word of God. But I promise the devil will try to attack. The devil will send in people, sometimes even unawares, but people will come, as the Bible says, wolves in sheep's clothing, who will try to take away from the pure doctrine, and we must stand for it. He must stand for it. We must be dedicated to a life of pure doctrine. We also see here a great responsibility to be devoted to love people. In verse number 5, now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. It does you no good to have all the doctrine in the world but not love people. 1 Corinthians 13 says you can have all kinds of faith. You can know things and have great oratory skills. But if you have not charity, you have nothing. So to Brother Alexander tonight, I tell him to go to Florida, and you love those people. You fall in love with them. God will give you a group of people that you'll just fall in love with. That you'll sit up late at night thinking about them. You'll get up morning, and it'll be the first thought in your heart. You'll be driving down the road, you'll pass a certain house, and you just can't help but pray. You hear someone's name and you'll stop and pray for them. But fall in love with those people. May God open a heart and give you a heart that loves. We have the reminder here to be a doctrinally pure life, devoted to love people, and then to deliver the lawless person. In verses 6 to 11, it talks about that there's some people there that have turned aside. Some false doctrine. Verse 8, 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless. It goes on, for time's sake, I'll just stop and just say this. There's going to be people that he's going to meet, and by the way, church, we're going to meet every week. That we can stop and look at them one of two ways. Boy, are they wicked, or boy, do they need Jesus. And may we have a heart for people. That there are lawless people out there, and I understand that. And their only hope may be you and I sharing the Word of God. You see a great responsibility here in those verses to be doctrinally pure, to love people, deliver the lawless. But then you see some great reminders here in verses 12 to 20. And the reminders, as Brother Alexander goes, and he'll head that way, reminders for you and I as we live our life in verse number 12 is this. Don't forget this. That number one, God will enable you. Whatever God's called you to do, He will enable you. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. Paul understood this, and he was trying to teach Timothy that I know it's going to get scary sometimes, it's going to be long nights, it's going to be hard. But God will enable you. He will give you the strength. He has enabled you, in verse number 12 also, He has entrusted you. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You know, it's really a humbling thing to understand that God, get up tonight, we preach the Word of God, get up this week and Thursday, Sunday, as the Lord leads, to preach that God has trusted us. You that work in that Sunday school class, God has entrusted you with something. You get on that bus, God has entrusted you with something precious. You go down to Hope, God has entrusted him. God has entrusted us. We should take that seriously. He's enabled us. He's entrusted us. In verses 13 to 17, He's enlightened us. How has He enlightened us? Well, in verse number 13, He's changed us. Aren't you thankful for that? As I read verse number 13, and I'm not jumping on Brother Alexander, this is his testimony. Who was before a blasphemer, persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Everyone knows, I believe, Brother Alexander's testimony. He mentioned it this morning. A drunk, driving a car, living a crazy, wild life. But God changed him. And what God did for him, He can do for anyone. So He's a changed person. Verse number 14, He's been compassionate upon us. It says there, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Boy, not only has God changed us, but He's been awful loving towards us, awful compassionate towards us. Has He not shown us great grace? Has He not abounded upon our life great grace and faith and love? Verse number 15, He's cleansed us. It says that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He's cleansed us. Aren't you thankful that our past has been forgotten in the eyes of God? He's cleansed us. And then in verse 16 and 17, He's given us a cause. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The fact is this, that God has done this work in Brother Alexander's life and changed his life and took him from alcohol and drugs and a life of rock and roll and wickedness and has changed him and shown great grace so that he can take that and do the same for other people. And God's done that in all of our life too. Every one of us have a testimony. And God has shown all of us great mercy so that we can show it to other people as well. We see here that He's given us a cause. It's a pattern for God's grace and all praise to God and for His glory. So you see here that He has enabled you. These reminders, He's entrusted you. He's enlightened you. And in verses 18, 19, and 20, He's enlisted you. He's enlisted you. He's enlisted you, number one, to be a soldier, not a casualty. It says, this charge I commend unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. I'm telling Brother Alexander right now, before God and all these people, It's a battlefield. It's not the person standing on a street corner that's his enemy. But there are spiritual wickedness in high places. In church, the devil's going to try and stop him. There are way too many casualties today among men that God has called to do a work. Too many men are giving in to lust and desire and pleasure, false doctrine. And we're not a church that's going to sweep things under the rug. If something's wrong, we'll call it out. But understand, I say it as a pastor, the devil tries to destroy. He's going to attack your thoughts. He's going to attack your life, your health. He's going to attack your wife. He's going to attack your children. He'll attack the work. He'll attack every aspect he can, trying to get you to quit. War, good warfare. Don't be a casualty. Be strong in the Lord. You've been enlisted to be a soldier, not a casualty, and you've been enlisted to be a sailor, not a castaway. It says in the verse there, holding faith, verse 19, and a good conscience, with some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. There are some who God has called, Paul told Timothy, who they shipwrecked their life. And the fact is this, people become shipwrecked for these three reasons. I'm sure many others, but I wrote these three there as God led me. Some people get into a storm and they become shipwrecked because they get misguided. To Brother Alexander, to myself, to this church, the way to stay from being misguided is to keep your nose in the book. Some become shipwrecked because they get misguided, some because they go into a storm. Many ships have been turned upside down because of the storms. And sometimes God allows storms into our life for a purpose. And when they come, we learn from them. We get stronger. We get wiser. Sometimes we go through a storm because of our punishment. Some storms we go through is because of our choices. We will go the wrong direction. There's going to be storms. So don't become shipwrecked. Don't get misguided. Don't go into a storm. I jotted down this third thing why many people, many shipwrecks is because they run out of gas. Keep yourself charged. I know Ted Alexander. He's going to go hard. He just told you he's going to hit the streets every day. And you know what? He will. He'll spend time in the Word. And you know what? He will. I know him. When that man studies a topic, he doesn't just look it up and do a Wikipedia, right? Hours. I know him. But Alexander, I'm telling you, take care of yourself too. Make sure you take care of yourself. Because someone like you will face the temptation to run yourself out of gas. So stay close to the Lord. Make sure you take care of yourself. Now that's kind of Paul's introduction. I guess that's mine too. Then he gets to the charge. Can we get through this quick? Look at this real quick with me. I promise it's not scary. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Paul tells him, now here's this charge. You see in verse number 18, this charge I commit to thee. Chapter two, number 2, he tells Timothy in verses 1 through 3 to be a man of prayer. Be a man of prayer. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, so see, here's this charge. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Be a man of prayer. Now I'm speaking, I know a charge to Brother Alexander tonight, but again, I'm speaking to me and I'm speaking to every member of this church. We all need to be men of prayer. Spend time talking to God. Verses 4 through 7 of chapter number 2, Paul instructs and charges Timothy to be a man of preaching. Be a man of preaching. There's one goal in your preaching in verse number 4, who have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Preach the word of God, that point to people to Jesus Christ that they might get saved. There's one goal, preach verse number 5, that there's one God. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Preach Jesus Christ. So he'd be a man of preaching. There's one goal, one God, and I wrote down verse 5 and 6, there's one gate. There's only one way to heaven, and keep preaching it, brother. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained. preacher, an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Be a man of prayer, be a man of preaching. Chapter 2, verse number 8, all the way through chapter number 3 and verse number 15, be a man of purity. Be a man of purity. Verse number 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Live a life of holiness and purity. I'm thankful for the testimony of Brother Ted and his family. But the devil will try to destroy that. Live a life of holiness and purity. Verses 9 to 15, may your house be a pattern of this. I praise the Lord for Mrs. Alexander. She loves the Lord. She lives a life of holiness. She loves people. And I know she's not here tonight. She would be if she could. The Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. And I'm thankful for a godly lady like her who will stand by her husband and is doctrinally sound and lives a life of holiness. Guide your children in holiness, brother. May your children also live a life of holiness, humility. We get to chapter number 3. We see here a man of purity, and that you should live a holy life, a pure life, your house, a pattern of that, and heed these certain provisions. In verse number 1 down to verse number 14, there are qualifications given. I'm not going to go through them all, but Paul instructs Timothy in his charge that he ought to live and be held accountable to these standards if he's going to serve in this office. And every one of these, I'm thankful to be able to look at you and say, you can read through them yourself, verse 1, all the way down through that chapter, that this man that we've ordained tonight meets these qualifications. To God be the glory. But the devil's going to try and stop it. So stay true to them, brother. Verses 15 and 16. Live a life, be a man of purity, and that you're holy and pure. Your house is a pattern. You heed these provisions. And then verse 15 and 16, you hallow the pulpit. You treat the pulpit and the preaching with the respect and the reverence that it deserves. Too many people have gotten up, and Brother Ted doesn't, but too many people get up and they treat this as a joke. They tell stories, they just entertain people. They just go off on tangents and have no foundation for it. This is a sacred desk. Verse 15 says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of what? And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Be a man of purity. For chapter number 4, be a man of purpose. Be a man of purpose. Verses 1 through 6, you are to be a steward of God's word. A steward of God's word. In verses 1 through 5, you can see that there are some things you can expect. I hate that I'm about to say this, but it's the fact, it's in God's word, and you can expect it. There will be some who will defect. There will be some who will try to bring in deception. There are some who will follow damnable heresies. You see, then, how the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times which we live today, some shall depart from the faith. Again, Paul's charging Timothy, go and preach the word of God. But understand, unfortunately, you can expect this. Some are going to quit. Some are going to defect and go to places and quit, and you're going to think, how could they do that? Some are going to be deceived and give heed to seducing spirits, some doctrines of devils, these damnable heresies. Some may walk away, but brother, don't quit. You hold true. You can see some things to expect in verses 1 through 5, and in verse number 6, he tells us what to expound. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. You keep expounding, brother, the words of faith. You keep expounding good doctrine. But don't skip the last part of that verse, whereunto thou hast attained. It's first got to speak to you. If it doesn't start here, it's not going to last out there. So you see here, be a steward of God's word. And then verses 7 to 16, stand for God's word. Stand for God's word. There are some things in verse 7, 8, 9 you're going to have to refuse. Refuse, profane, and old wise fables. Exercise thyself unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and of the life which is to come. This is a faithful saying. worthy of all acceptation. There's some things you're going to have to refuse. You're just not going to be able to allow it. When the devil tries to send it, be strong. There are some things you're going to have to refuse. There are some things that are a reproach in verse number 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. You are probably going to have to suffer reproach. There's probably going to be times that because of your stand, some will point a finger. I guarantee when you get down there, I'm just talking to Brother Alexander as his pastor, but when he gets down there, all kinds of religious organizations are going to try to put their arm around him and say, "Welcome, my friend, my brother." And it doesn't take long till doctrine begins to divide. And when it does, you'll be scorned, you'll be mocked, you'll suffer reproach. But stand for God's word. Some things you're going to have to refuse. Sometimes you're going to be reproached. In some way, you're going to have to reiterate in verse number 11, these things command and teach. You're going to have to go over these things over and over and over, but don't get tired. You say, "Well, I'm preaching the same thing again." I know. It's awesome. Because people have to hear it. And in your church, you're going to have some that are mature and some that are babes in Christ, and you have to feed them all. So keep reiterating the truth. In verse 12 to 16, somehow you're going to have to refocus. Refocus in verse number 12 on your own testimony. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity, spirit and faith and purity. There's going to be times you're going to get fed up with things and you're just going to have to refocus and say, "No, my life's to be an example." You're going to have to refocus in verse number 13 on your studies. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You say, "Well, Paul's already said that." I know, because we need to remind it over and over and over again if we're going to do this purpose. We've got to stay in this book. Continue, refocus on your testimony, your studies, and your authority. In verse number 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. That's what we did tonight, church. It was evident God gave this man this gift. God has called him and led him to preach, and we've given that authority. And I promise the devil's going to say, "Who are you to do this?" I promise you the devil will say that to you. And your answer is this: "I'm nothing. But God has called me to do this. And my church has given me authority to come. And by God's grace, I'm going to continue." Refocus on verse number 15 on your devotions. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Have a walk with God. In verse number 16, focus on yourself. And that may sound like prideful, but take heed unto thyself. And unto doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I've already said it once, and the scriptures repeats it again. Take care of yourself. Take heed to thyself. I think it's a great, great goal to spend 2 to 3 hours a day knocking on those doors. And I hope that many, many hours are done so. That's what we're sending you to do. But you're probably going to need a day to go sit and cast a line in the water and just sit there and talk to God. I hope you spend 30 hours knocking on doors. But you're also going to need a day to take your wife out and just talk about nothing. Take heed to thyself. Yes, the doctrine, but don't forget yourself. You see here, he's to be a man of prayer, a man of preaching, a man of purity, a man of purpose in chapter 4 and chapter number 5, a man of people. You're going to minister to many different people. In verses 1 and 2, appreciate your elders, brother. God's going to put some elderly people in your life and in your church. Those days will come. You treat them, as the Bible says, as your elder women as mothers, younger sisters with all purity. Treat the elders with respect as a father. But make sure that you appreciate the elders. They're precious. We won't have a nursing home ministry when you get there. But if the Lord opens the door, don't be afraid of it. God, no doubt, there's no doubt in my mind, because I've talked to pastors that have been there. There are people that are sitting at home tonight that would love to go to a church that need a walker to get there. They're just waiting for something like they remember. Love them. Appreciate your elders. Verses 3 to 10, account for your widows. God's going to have them in your church. Love them. Love them. There's going to be people that's going to be hurting that's going to be sitting in your pews. Take the time to encourage them and take care of them. Verses 11 to 16, admonish your young people. Admonish them. Get them busy. Get them working. Admonish them to do right. Admonish them to be faithful, to do the work. Admonish your young people. Verses 17 to 19, admire the faithful. Admire the faithful. Those that are doing right, praise the Lord for. Every chance you get to bring a missionary and put them before your people, amen. Point people, make heroes out of these that are being faithful. Admire the faithful, verses 17 to 19, and in verses 20 to 25, acknowledge the unfaithful. Verse 20, them that sin, rebuke before all. I'm not going to go here because we're doing well through this book, but we live in a world today that people are making heroes out of preachers that shouldn't be behind pulpits anymore. And I know Brother Ted, he's not that type of person that will push things under the rug. So why should he call him out? Because the Bible says. To be careful, but acknowledge the unfaithful. Be a man of prayer, be a man of preaching, be a man of purity, a man of purpose, a man of people. And then chapter number 6, be a man of peace. Paul concludes his charge to Timothy in chapter number 6 and saying, be at peace. Number 1, verses 1 through 5, with others. With others. Willingly serve all you can. The office that you're going to is a little bit different. It's just serving people. And just loving them. And meeting them and helping them. But be willing to serve, verses 1 and 2. But there's some you're going to have to withdraw yourself from. And I know he will. I guess I'm preaching this to me and to you, church, tonight. Be willing to serve all that you can. But understand there may be some you have to withdraw yourself from. That's not being mean-spirited. That's being biblical. But be at peace with others. Be at peace with yourself in verses 6 to 12. Learn to be content. Verses 6 through 10. Learn to be content. God may bless in wonderful ways, or God may have things tight for a while. As Paul said, there's going to be times when you abound and sometimes when you're abased. There's going to be times of plenty and times where you're going to wonder where it's going to come from. Learn to be content. Verse 11 and 12, learn to be courageous. Be at peace with yourself, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Be a man of peace with others, with yourself. And ends the book, be at peace with God. Verses 13, we'll just read, I give thee charge in the sight. He concludes this charge. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be at peace with God, be at peace with yourself, be at peace with others. In light of this, that someday, and it could be soon, he's coming back. And be sure that you've done your best and you've been faithful. Verse 20, O Timothy, we'll just change that tonight. Get some liberty here. Brother Alexander, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, with some professing of error concerning the faith. Brother, grace be with thee. And all the people said, Father, I pray you take this invitation. I pray that Lord